WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, traffic, Justin Ellick, sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 28th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Rain on and off throughout this day. High 50. Tonight and overnight, the clouds hang around. Could see a pop-up shower. Low 40. And then Friday, sun and clouds. High 56. If you're walking out the door with us right now, it is 46 and raining in White Plains up in Westchester County. 45 and raining in South Orange down in New Jersey. And 47 and moderate rain outside our Midtown studios right now. So much to get to as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sid and friends in the morning was sad to see when this bulletin came across at about, well, it was about 6 o'clock, maybe 6:30 last night, that former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman had passed away. And maybe it was so shocking to me anyway, because our own Frank Morano had just interviewed him on Friday on the other side of midnight, talking about the No Labels party. And he sounded great. I mean, the voice sounded like it always did. I mean, the minute he had him on the air, you were like, oh, yeah, that's Joe Lieberman. And then we come to find out in this announcement that came from Hadassah and the family, Hadassah being his wife, that he had fallen somewhere, either at his house or here in New York. He passed away here in New York. He was 82 years old, but clearly he was okay up until that moment. We hadn't heard anything about him being ill. Of course, some of the most famous parts of the story, you know, being Senator of Connecticut, no two ways about it, but was that chance that he came awfully close, I mean, incredibly close. He must have lived with this for just the rest of his life. In the 2000 presidential contest that was decided by that 537 vote margin of victory for George W. Bush in Florida, that drawn out recount, those legal challenges, remember? That time, it was a wild moment in American history. No two ways about it. He spoke to Frank about that. And then here he was after that race was decided in Florida.
10 days ago, with courage and with friendship.
Oh, I should tell you, this is actually after he was chosen to be the vice presidential candidate on the ticket with Al Gore.
10 days ago, with courage and with friendship, Al Gore asked me to be his running mate. And I don't have to tell you that this has been a most extraordinary week for my family and me. There's an old saying that behind every successful man, there's a surprised mother-in-law.
So it was a big moment in American history in that he would have been the first Jewish vice president. It didn't work out, of course, in the Florida race. Most recently, he had become one of the founders of the No Labels Party. He had been a centrist in the Senate for years, and he was just more and more upset with the two-party system, saying it was too fractured, too ugly, nothing was getting done. Here he spoke with Frank about that.
The way our system has, our democratic system, our republic has worked since the founding in the 18th century is by people who have been elected to represent the American people in Washington with differences of opinion, meeting in the center, talking respectfully.
And that was kind of what he was all about. He wanted to be the centrist guy who would bring people together. Did a pretty good job of doing that when he was in the Senate. Interesting, in his Jewish faith, he was religious. And so the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, begins Friday at sundown, and Saturday at sundown, he did not do anything in that 24 hours, which was kind of a big deal for a lawmaker in D.C. So this No Labels party, we don't know what's going to happen with it. They've approached just about everybody to run. Everybody has essentially turned them down. So Frank actually asked him again. This was just last Friday. Asked Joe if maybe he would step in at 82 to run for president.
You might be the No Labels person with the most name recognition on a national basis right now. Is there any chance that you might be the candidate?
Oh, I'm going to quickly answer the second question first. No chance. I've gone beyond my running days. and happy to be part of this organization. Frankly, happy to try to shake up the political system.
Actually, funny, at 82, he would have been the oldest candidate in the race. The other ones, of course, not much younger. Anyway, sad to see that it was just a fall of some sort. I guess we'll get more details as the day wears on that. This is the reason he passed away at 82 yesterday. Last night, some beautiful moments coming out of this awful story of this 31-year-old officer who was shot and killed in Far Rockaway, Queens, by just a creeper murderer on the street during a routine traffic stop there. Last night, they had two separate vigils for the officer. One was in Massapequa Park. The other one was in the city in Queens, not too far away, where Jonathan Diller was shot and killed. A ton of people. I mean, you should have seen the crowd that showed up in Brady Park in Massapequa Park to honor the officer last night.
Jonathan taught me what a family truly is. That means no matter what, no matter the circumstances, no matter how busy your life is, you do what you can. You do what you can to help your family.
That was one of his fellow officers, people holding lit candles. Family members were at that vigil last night.
That child is going to grow up without a father, and it's because of the rampant crime that's going around in all the cities. And it's just sad to see, you know, it's tough to deal with.
An emotional candlelight vigil also held earlier in the evening in Queens. It was hosted by the New York City Citywide Clergy Collective. They held it right near the precinct that was Diller's precinct and talked about his courage and how they would look out for the family.
It hurts all of us. It affects all of us. We are all in shock. It takes and rips a piece of our soul that we will never get back, and we will never get used to this.
Nassau County Police expecting thousands now. Today and tomorrow are the wake for Diller, and they expect just a ton of people will show up.
Family was number one in his life. His sister, his brother, his mother, his wife, and his son Ryan. He taught me how to be a better person.
Yeah, an emotional night in Massapequa Park. So the wakes are today and tomorrow. The funeral is on Saturday. Former President Trump is expected to show at the wake today. So at some point, Mayor Adams and the police commissioner, of course, we'll continue to follow this story all weekend long. WABC News Time 509. Okay, the full MTA board giving its final approval for the congestion pricing plan for Manhattan yesterday. They took a vote. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. Board members, including David Jones, voted yes at their meeting to toll drivers $15 to enter south of 60th Street.
Funding the infrastructure of the subways, buses, and commuter rail, while at the same time reducing congestion and helping you clean the air. This is a trifecta.
Yes, so they voted on this latest tweak to the plan, which includes exemptions to yellow school buses, most commuter buses, certain specialized government vehicles. But the rest of us suckers, man, we're going to pay this. The MTA wants to start this mid-June. There are a number of lawsuits trying to stop it. It seems, though, those lawsuits may not hold up.
My concern is a vibrant city coming out of COVID, the vacancy rate of office buildings, the major companies leaving New York.
Yeah, a lot of business people say this is not good. They think people will actually stay away and not pay that toll. The head of the Taxi Workers Alliance is furious that there's no exemptions for taxi drivers.
They're barely making a minimum wage. This would be the third tax on their backs.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard enough to be a cab driver in the city.
People that live in the zone shouldn't have to pay the fee. You have to do the right thing by folks in Staten Island that have to pay the Verrazano and the Battery Tunnel.
So I guess the thought of these MTA officials are, I mean, how many exemptions can you give out till you're not really making this money anymore? So they've stopped. I mean, they say that's going to be it. Drivers, obviously none of them too happy, especially the ones that are not exempt.
Everything going up everywhere. I don't know if it's really going to work. It's going to make people parked at different places, come down, take Ubers and stuff like that. The city's falling apart.
We just don't know. I think a lot of people may end up asking to go remote. I think that's going to be a big part of it for people who drive in. Or you'll have what we told you about yesterday, all this congestion outside the George Washington Bridge or coming in from Long Island. People will park in the parts of Queens and take the subway in, or they'll try to park in Washington Heights or Inwood, try to come in. But the truth is, the MTA claims they know, but they don't know how this is all going to work out. But what they do know is they're going to get a lot of money from this.
I don't know where I'm going to go, but I have to find somewhere else to make a living. We cannot no longer make a living with this congestion price they're going to put on us. It's not like it used to be. They squeeze every dollar we make out of your pocket.
So I should point out in the search in telling you the entire story is they do have congestion pricing in cities around the world. And for the most part, it has not been detrimental to those cities, like places like London. So they're thinking that's going to be the same case here. It's going to be, by the way, $36 for some trucks to go into the zone. And guess who that is going to be passed on to? Yeah, us. So not only if you're not paying the toll, you'll be paying part of it somehow, because these drivers and these commercial trucks that come in, of course, they're just going to pass that fee on to the consumers.
I mean, the prices, they're outrageous. I don't understand why they have to be giving us these prices in the city. I will understand the breaches, yeah. But in the streets, on
so,
the city?
So MTA says that they want to start this mid-June. There are a number of lawsuits, Staten Island, New Jersey, some teachers union. We don't know whether any of those lawsuits are going to work. We'll have to play it all out. But the MTA has the tolling devices, as I've told you before. They're up. If you haven't been in the city in a while, the tolling devices are up, like right at 60th Street. There's one here at Bloomingdale's when you come in. So there's the tolling devices for congestion pricing when you come out of the Lincoln and Holland Tunnel. So they're ready to collect your money. It's just a question of when they'll be able to do it. Their hope, anyway, is that it'll come in mid-June. 513, let's go down to Baltimore, where yesterday they did recover two bodies of those missing workers, those construction crew that was on the Francis Scott Key Bridge when it was hit by that container ship early Tuesday morning.
This is not a conclusion. It's a continuation. And we take this phase just as seriously and just as personally as we took the last phase.
So it is now a salvage and recovery. They're not expecting to find that any of these workers will be alive. They are having a hard time even getting near the bridge because they don't want to put other people in jeopardy by going in to look for these other workers. So it's not clear how fast they'll be able to find them.
We've determined the countries of origin of those that are presumed deceased to be Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras.
Yeah, so I had a friend come up to me yesterday, stop me on the street, and he's like, hey, have you heard about the Baltimore Bridge? And I'm like, okay. Yes. He had cargo on that ship. He is in the shipping business, and he had rented out space on that cargo ship and had a ton of containers that he paid for. So he says he doesn't know what's going to happen. They haven't really told him where or when those containers will be lifted off that ship. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg talking to reporters yesterday.
By the time most Americans saw those images, first responders and rescuers had already been at work for hours to save lives. That quick work unquestionably made an enormous difference.
Yeah, not enough can be said about what the cops did on Tuesday morning. They raced to both sides of this bridge after the Mayday call went out from that container ship that they had lost power and they didn't know where they were going to end up. And they stopped traffic, no doubt saving tons of lives. So kudos to those people. It was 1:30 in the morning, yet they were able to activate all these people to get that job done. Now the question is, when will they rebuild this bridge?
It is going to be some time where commuters are going to need to depend on that 95 and 895 tunnel. And it's going to put pressure on them. As far as the port, again, too soon to venture an estimate.
Yeah, so we don't know what kind of mess it has been in the Baltimore area. But, of course, if you're heading back and forth between D.C. and Washington, you'll definitely want to be on the ways. All right, 515, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk, where we find Wayby, one of the best sports reporters in the business, filling in for Justin Alec. Noam Layton. Oh, quite nice of you to say that. Thank you very much. Opening day is here. Major League Baseball kicks into full swing today. 13 games on the schedule. The action starts with the Angels facing the Orioles in Baltimore. Yankees visit Houston. Two games have already been postponed due to the rain. The Brewers-Mets game out at Citi Field, that's washed out. Braves-Phillies in Philadelphia, not going to happen. The Dodgers, meanwhile, locking up their catcher with a long-term deal. Los Angeles signing Will Smith. 10-year, $140 million extension that runs through the 2033 season. March Madness continues today. Sweet 16, four games tip off. Arizona takes on Clemson. North Carolina battles number four Alabama. Number one seed UConn faces off against San Diego State. Iowa takes on Illinois. The Knicks claiming their biggest win of the season. They just destroyed the Raptors. 145-101 in Toronto last night. Miles McBride led all scorers with 29. He dished out seven assists. The Nets took down the Washington Wizards 122-119 in overtime at the Capital One Arena. And speaking of the Wizards and Capitals will stay in D.C., D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser signing a deal with the Wizards and the Capitals Wednesday that will keep the teams in D.C. till 2050. The agreement came about on the same day that the city of Alexandria announced talks to try and bring those teams, both of them, to Virginia. WABC Newstime 519. Let's go down to Texas. Groups that are suing Texas to stop a controversial new immigration law thrilled that it's been put on hold now by a federal appeals court.
The opinion itself kind of alluding to, like, the vagueness of the law itself and its implementation.
That's Jorge Dominguez. He is the staff attorney with the Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center. They argue that the Texas law is unconstitutional. It allows cops to arrest anybody they believe cross the border illegally.
Texas arrests somebody under SB4. They take them to a port of entry. And then federal authorities decide to release this person. So what happens then? There was a big, I don't know.
For the meantime, that law on hold. While we're in Texas, next month's total solar eclipse is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event for a bunch of Texas businesses. Texas is considered, or parts of it in small towns, the best place to see the solar eclipse in North America. So they're hoping to cash in big time with the tourists who will come to these small towns to watch it.
Projections are that about 1 million people are going to actually come into Texas to view the eclipse. And we think they'll spend well over $400 million directly.
And so what's interesting is usually it's the big cities that cash in. This will be the small towns this time, $1.4 billion. That's economist Ray Perryman, who says this is a big kick for these small towns.
We think they'll spend over $400 million directly and generate about a $1.4 billion overall spending in the Texas economy. It's similar in some ways to a major sporting event or a major convention coming to an area, that sort of thing, a really major convention.
Now, we'll be able to see it here, but actually Buffalo in the upstate area is considered one of the best places on the continent to see it as well. And they expect, Governor Hochul was talking about this earlier this week, they expect that crowds, maybe even enough to shut down the throughway or even impact cell phone service for people who are going up to the Buffalo area where the solar eclipse will last the longest. We'll be able to see it here, but it won't be as long as it is in places like Buffalo and Texas. And as it gets closer, we'll bring in Dr. Sky to talk about how to watch it. And, of course, you need those special glasses. We'll talk about the best places to get those special glasses as well. 521, strap in for an explosive 2024 Atlantic hurricane season. That's what we're hearing now. AccuWeather lead hurricane forecaster Alex DeSilva says last year's Atlantic recorded the warmest sea surface temperatures to date, which means the season could be pretty brutal this year.
And right now we are already outpacing 2023. So if we stay on this trajectory, 2024 we'll see the warmest Atlantic basin on record.
So what does that mean? Expect more powerful storms, like they haven't been powerful enough, especially as we transition this summer from El Nino to La Nina.
And a greater risk of seeing rapidly intensifying storms. We think back to Hurricane Ian, for example, that impacted Florida, west coast of Florida, rapidly intensified in the Gulf of Mexico before making landfall.
Now, it's this whole mix of the ocean temperatures, which are on track to be hotter than last year, and it was records last year.
La Nina periods typically favor more tropical development in the Atlantic basin due to less vertical wind shear.
Now, I know I have a lot of people that listen to us in Florida. So here's what they're predicting. A supercharged season with 20 to 25 named storms, including 8 to 12 hurricanes, four of them major. So it could be a really long season down south. And we'll, of course, watch it here, 77 WABC. Everybody trying to figure about what's going to happen with Shohei Ohtani. Legendary legendary sports agent Lee Steinberg was watching Shohei Ohtani's press conference earlier this week, and he thought he did an okay job. He wasn't totally convinced by what Shohei had to say.
How he held himself, he didn't seem defensive, he seemed like mildly outraged.
There was a bunch of questions, of course, that were not cleared up during that press conference. Same for Steinberg, who says he wants to know how the money got out of the ball player's account, some $4 million, to reportedly play for his translator's gambling debts.
I'm assuming that there was power of attorney somehow that allowed the interpreter to transfer funds without Ohtani's knowledge.
Of course, one of the questions is, if he transferred this money without Shohei Ohtani's knowledge, how come they haven't filed a police report, or it seems they haven't, can't find one?
He was well prepared. They knew and understood that there was a murkiness, a complete lack of facts in the situation. So much of it just did not make any sense.
Yeah, so for a while it seemed like the Dodgers were breathing a sigh of relief, but it seems like there's more to the story that needs to come out. 524, most Americans now believe marijuana should be legal nationwide.
A survey from Pew Research Center found 88% of Americans think cannabis should be legal for recreational or medical use, while nearly 6 out of 10 believe it should be legal for both uses. Around 3 out of 10 think it should be only legal for medical purposes. About 10% believe it should be outlawed. The survey also revealed that more Americans disagree over the effects of legalizing the drug, with only half believing legalization has a positive economic impact. I'm Brian Shook.
Coming up on 525, so California is going to increase its minimum wage on Monday from $16 to $20, and that has a bunch of restaurants scrambling to juggle the expenses and prices, which, of course, will be passed on to the consumer. So enter hospitality and restaurant robots. Maybe you've seen this. I've seen this a few times when we go into a restaurant where they have a robot serve you your meal. Apparently, more restaurants are going to move to this now, with the cost of employees adding up. Elad Inbar is the CEO and founder of Robot Labs in Dallas, Texas. And he says restaurants or owners are shocked to find out that a robot will cost them just about $15 per day.
Okay, when you talk to a restaurant owner about that, it's like $15 per day, and I have that working 24/7, and it's there every day. It will never call in sick, will never talk back to customers, will never sit on social media in the back. That's a very appealing, valuable position.
Yeah, it's a little weird, and you know, there was a I'm trying to think, we were in a Denny's or IHOP's and we were on the road when we had one of these robots. And it was a little strange, but it was also kind of fun, as the robot showed up at the table to ask us what we wanted to eat.
We have different robots that can help in different ways, from delivering food from the kitchen to the table, or bussing the dirty dishes back to the dishwashing station.
So apparently these robots can cook as well. Like they can be line cooks, which seems pretty crazy.
Robots that can clean the floors, robots that can greet customers and talk about today's specials and these kind of things. And over to cooking robots in the back of the house, you know, helping with the shortage of line cooks.
So Robot Labs has deployed about, well, I should say tens of thousands of these robots worldwide for customers. IHOP has signed on, Denny's, Buffalo Wild Wings.
I can tell you around probably 40% of the robots are named Rosie.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Because Rosie was the name of the robot on the Jetsons. A lot of them go by that. So it'll be interesting to see if they roll out more of these robots in California, especially where the numbers are going to go up from $16 to $20 an hour minimum wage come on Monday. The White House says a high-stakes meeting with Israeli officials in Washington being rescheduled now.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the office of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has agreed to go forward with a meeting on a potential military operation in southern Gaza. Israel canceled the delegation earlier this week after the U.S. allowed the U.N. Security Council to adopt a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. The U.S., Israel, and leaders in the Middle East are negotiating a separate ceasefire agreement tied to the release of hostages held by Hamas. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Okay, the opening bell, it rings this morning after stocks closed higher yesterday on Wall Street, S&P 500. Finish off the day just at a record high. The Dow gained 477 points. S&P 500 rose 44. NASDAQ gained 83 points. The markets, if you haven't invested, they are on fire right now.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 533. Good morning. It is Wednesday, March 28th. No, it's not. It's Thursday, March 28th. Boy, what is wrong with you this week? Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, rain on and off throughout this day, high 50. Why would I want to go back in time? Tonight and overnight, clouds could see a shower, low 40, and then Friday, which is tomorrow. That's what I've been told anyway. Sun and clouds, high 56. If you are walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. It's 46 and raining in White Plains up in Westchester County, 45 and raining in South Orange down in New Jersey, and 47 and moderate rain here in Midtown. So much to get to as we work our way up. 6 o'clock hour, Sid and Friends in the morning. We'll start this half hour right here in the city. Maybe if you're on TikTok or on YouTube or on any of the social media platforms, you've seen these videos of women getting randomly punched here in the city in the face by total strangers, unprovoked. There was a vicious and unprovoked sucker punch that has left a woman in Brooklyn just battered and shaken. It's 57-year-old Dulce Pichardo. She spoke to Eyewitness News after she was violently attacked while walking down Grand Avenue near Dean Street. This was 5 in the afternoon on Tuesday.
What happened? Why are you hitting me? Why are you hitting me? I was bleeding a lot. Mom, I'm so scared, I'm so afraid.
Now, if she's hard to understand, is that she was punched so hard in the face that this creep broke her jaw, and now her jaw is wired. Her face is swollen, 3 teeth knocked out.
He hit me very, very strong over here, and he broke everything here. Everything's break.
Doctors say she suffered permanent damage to her lower lip, and the only upside of this story is that there were people nearby who saw this take place, and they chased this guy down, tackled him, and held him till police arrived.
Every time I see one man, I close. I don't want to be close to nobody. I'm very afraid. Yes. I turn my song everywhere I'm going. I want you to walk with me.
And Pichardo is not a woman of means. She's a school bus aide, so she has to get back on the bus and work, even after having her jaw wired on Tuesday, still bruises from being punched in the face so hard. Cops arrested this 33-year-old, Franz Judy. Now, we don't know what's going on because we've been seeing a number of these cases across the city of people putting up their stories on TikTok. Mostly young women who've been punched in the face just randomly as they're walking down the street. We talked with the NYPD. We said, hey, is there something going on here? They just don't know because some of these attacks have not been reported to them. In the case of this 33-year-old, you're not going to be shocked to hear this, and it's so frustrating. So he punches this woman randomly, unprovoked, as hard as he possibly can. She has her jaw wired now. She loses 3 teeth. Her lip is permanently damaged. Doctors say they can't fix it. And guess where he is? Yeah, he's back out on the streets.
Being charged with assault 3, not with a felony, because there's no intent. So therefore, he's being just charged with that. He has 7 prior arrests for assault charges, and he's out in the street.
Yes, 7 priors. This creep has done this to other people, and right now, as we speak, he's walking the streets. WABC News Time, 5:38. We have a mental health crisis in this country. I'm sure you know that. Some of it is the blame falls on the health insurance companies who've made it almost impossible in some cases to get the mental health that you need or maybe that a loved one needs. And even if you're able to get that through your health insurance, sometimes it's just impossible to find the psychiatrist, the doctors, the medication you need because there's so many people going in that direction seeking out help. And so what happens now is we're seeing more and more of these stories on the street. I tell you this because the latest one is this man with scissors who clearly had mental health issues, shot and killed by police in Ozone Park, Queens yesterday. This mother home with her 19-year-old son who is acting erratically. She calls the cops because she doesn't know what to do. Initially, he has some form of a taser in his hand, so police don't know what to do. This is all happening inside this apartment. And then at one point, the tasers fall out of his hands, not really clear why. But then he picks up a pair of scissors and he charges at these police officers. And of course, the police officers have every right, and as they should, to protect themselves from some guy who they didn't know what was going to do to him.
Our officers attempt to take the individual into custody and get him help. But at this time, while they were doing that, he pulled a pair of scissors out of a drawer and came towards the officers.
And he charged at them hard. They pulled out their weapons and they fired them at this 19-year-old.
Both officers deployed their tasers that were effective. But a mother, being a mother, came to the aid of her son to help him. And by doing so, she accidentally knocked the tasers out of his body.
Okay, so the tasers came out. You can imagine what a horrific scene was. This mother was just looking for help to help her 19-year-old son. And goes back to these mental health issues. Was he able to get help? Well, no, I guess. He was shot by police, pronounced dead a short time later. A neighbor heard all the commotion.
I saw them go to the first house, knock on the door, and eventually somebody, I just let him in. Then you heard yelling. And then the next thing you heard a shot. And then after that, it was a little bit of silence, and then you heard more shots.
Yeah, so what a terrible ending to that story. This person who clearly needed help, police had to do what they had to do at that moment. But this person may have not been or may have not gotten the help that they need. We'll find that out. And then there's another story that we told you about yesterday. This 46-year-old Selma McClain, she lived up in the Bronx, well-loved woman in her neighborhood. Her daughter, who had mental health issues, was let out of an institution. We don't know why. And her mother, of course, who loves her daughter, invited her back into the home. And the daughter, this 26-year-old, was having all kinds of problems and started to threaten her mother and then finally killed her mother. This was just earlier this week. So yesterday, her friends and neighbors held a candlelight vigil for the mom, this 46-year-old Selma McClain, who said, you know, she should be alive today.
Always there for her daughter. She supported her through whatever.
She pushed everybody to do better in their life, even if it was, you know, a crisis or something simple. She just gave everybody love.
Yeah, and just a mom who did not want to know what to do to help her daughter, of course, did what she thought was right, inviting her back into the house, and now she's dead. The 26-year-old taken into custody. So far, no charges have been filed against her. A fight inside a Queens High School cafeteria. Five teenage students, a security guard, all getting slashed yesterday. This taking place at the New Dawn Charter School on 161st Street in Jamaica. There was some sort of wild brawl in the lunchroom, and there were kids who just went running out of the building looking for help.
They said somebody had a knife.
Stabbing?
I was like, I was scared for them, but they just stayed in the store until the police came, and then they left.
So five people taken into custody, all between 16 and 18 years old. Thankfully, their injuries are not serious. Police, school officials trying to sort out exactly what took place.
You know, a couple people were slashed and, you know, a couple went to the hospital.
I saw one kid in, like, a red suit get arrested. It's wild.
It was wild?
Yeah, just to be around all that is just crazy.
It was not immediately clear what sparked that fight. Detectives, youth response team officers, they were all seen in the school at the aftermath. The police promise they'll release more details today. Newly arriving migrants here in the city, they're going to get prepaid debit cards this week through this controversial pilot program. Mayor Adams, he's dismissing the notion that these prepaid debit cards that are going to be handed out in this trial program will encourage more migrants to come to New York who see that these debit cards are being handed out.
I'm not hearing from my colleagues down in Ecuador, Colombia, Mexico, that, hey, everybody's running to New York because they're going to get a food card. I'm not hearing that.
Yeah, well, a lot of people might disagree with you on that one. The cards can be used for food, diapers, and baby formula. Hundreds of migrants are going to get this card, which holds $350 a week. It's a lot of money. Mayor Adams' administration says the cards will save money because it'll reduce the number of meals the city has to prepare and serve. That may be accurate, but, of course, some will say that migrants who are thinking about where to go when they cross the border, whether it be New York, L.A., some of the other cities that are taking in migrants, might say, hey, wait a minute, I get a debit card when I go to New York City. Put me on a bus there. All right, 5:45. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Justin Ellick has the day off, and so somebody who probably shouldn't be doing sports is doing it today. Let's send it over to Noam Layden. Opening day is here. Major League Baseball kicks into full swing today. 13 games on the schedule. The action starts with the Angels facing the Orioles in Baltimore. Yankees visit Houston. Two games have already been postponed due to the rain. The Brewers-Mets game out at Citi Field, that's washed out. Braves, Philly, and Philadelphia, same. The Dodgers, meanwhile, locking up their catcher with a long-term deal. Los Angeles signing Will Smith to a 10-year, $140 million extension that will run through the 2033 season. March Madness, it continues today. Sweet 16, four games tip off. Arizona takes on Clemson. North Carolina battles Alabama. UConn faces off against San Diego State. Iowa takes on Illinois. The Knicks, wow, scoring their biggest win of the season. Just destroyed the Raptors, 145-101 in Toronto last night. Miles McBride led all scorers with 29. He dished out 7 assists. The Nets took down the Washington Wizards, 122-119 in overtime at the Capital One Arena. And speaking of the Wizards and Capitals will stay in D.C. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and signing a deal with the Wizards and the Capitals yesterday that'll keep the two teams in D.C. till 2050. The agreement came on the same day that the city of Alexandria had announced talks to try and bring both of those teams to Virginia. That's sports. Noam Layden, WABC News. Coming up on 5:47 now, traffic, transit on the 7th. Here's Joe Noah.
And Seton Hall advances to the semifinals of the NIT.
Oh, wait.
Nobody cares about the NIT. Nobody.
That in there. Hold on. NIT. What does that stand for anyway, NIT?
National Invitation Tournament.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
National Idiot Tournament.
Well, they won. I mean, come on. Give the kids a break. They won.
Wait, which one is it?
They're going to the semifinals.
I just want to know, is it the National Idiot Tournament or just the National Invitation
Tournament? Well, some people call it the Not Invited Tournament.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So, I mean, but
it's humiliating. Well, these kids, I don't show up.
Okay, fine. If you're traveling on the drive northbound at 79th Street, an accident, there's two lanes out. That will continue again northbound on the FDR drive.
Don't ever mention the NIT again.
Why not? If they win it, it's a big deal.
Cares.
All right. Well, it's the biggest university in northern New Jersey. You know, I mean, I don't know.
The what?
It's the biggest university in northern New Jersey.
That's like saying she just won the beauty contest in a leper colony.
Still the winner.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No. I'm not trying to win.
Let's catch you up on some of the big stories of the morning. Former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman passing away yesterday at 82 years old, had some sort of fall in his house. The wild part of this story is that Frank Morano on the other side of midnight had Joe Lieberman on his show just on Friday, and he sounded great. I mean, the minute you heard the voice, you recognized that it was Joe Lieberman. Of course, one of the big moments of his life came back in the 2000 presidential contest when Al Gore picked him to be the vice president on his ticket.
10 days ago, with courage and with friendship, Al Gore asked me to be his running mate. And I don't have to tell you that this has been a most extraordinary week for my family and me. There's an old saying that behind every successful man, there's a surprised mother-in-law.
Lieberman came tantalizingly close to winning the vice presidency. You'll remember in that contentious 2000 presidential contest, it was decided by a 537 vote margin victory for George W. Bush in Florida after that drawn out recount, legal challenges, and finally that Supreme Court decision. So it did not work out for him, but of course it made him known to most of America. Lieberman had this independent streak. He would sometimes buck his own party, which was not what Democrats wanted to see, but he definitely had some liberal sides to him. He was supported gay rights, the civil rights movement, abortion rights, environmental causes. Most recently, though, he became one of the founders of the No Labels Party because he was upset at the two-party system, which he said was just completely fractured, very ugly, nothing getting done. And he spoke to Frank Morano about this just last Friday on the other side of midnight.
The way our system has, our democratic system, our republic has worked since the founding in the 18th century is by people who have been elected to represent the American people in Washington with differences of opinion, meeting in the center, talking respectfully.
And on last Friday, Frank asked him, because all these candidates they've approached, the No Labels Party saying, hey, do you want to be on the ticket? And all these politicians saying, no, I don't want to be on the ticket. So Frank asked him, well, what about you, Joe Lieberman? People know who you are. Why don't you run?
You might be the No Labels person with the most name recognition on a national basis right now. Is there any chance that you might be the candidate?
Oh, I'm going to quickly answer the second question first. No chance. I've gone beyond my running days, and happy to be part of this organization. Frankly, happy to try to shake up the political system.
Yeah, I mean, that would have put him as the oldest candidate in the race at 82. Anyway, some sort of fall. We don't know exactly what took place, but passing away yesterday, 82, here in the city. Last night, we watched two separate vigils for Jonathan Diller. He's the NYPD cop who was shot and killed during a traffic stop in Far Rockaway, Queens on Monday night. Ton of people showing up in Brady Park in Massapequa to honor the 31-year-old.
Jonathan taught me what a family truly is. That means no matter what, no matter the circumstances, no matter how busy your life is, you do what you can. You do what you can to help your family.
It was a beautiful scene. People with lit candles. I mean, there was just, the park was packed with people.
That child's going to grow up without a father, and it's because of the rampant crime that's going around in all the cities. And it's just sad to see. You know, it's tough to deal with.
And an emotional candlelight vigil also held earlier in the evening in Queens. It was hosted by the Citywide Clergy Collective, right near the precinct where Diller worked out of.
It hurts all of us. It affects all of us. We are all in shock. It takes and rips a piece of our soul that we will never get back. And we will never get used to this.
Nassau County Police saying they expect thousands of people will show up for the wake today and tomorrow, including former President Donald Trump.
Family was number one in his life. His sister, his brother, his mother, his wife, and his son Ryan. He taught me how to be a better person.
So again, the wake today, tomorrow. The funeral will take place on Saturday. A GoFundMe page for the officer's family. It's already collected $350,000. The other big story of the day, the full MTA board giving the final approval for congestion pricing for Manhattan. Board members, including David Jones, voting yes at their meeting yesterday. That'll toll drivers $15 to enter south of 60th Street.
Funding the infrastructure of the subways, buses, and commuter rail, while at the same time reducing congestion and helping to clean the air. This is a trifecta.
Yeah, well, the latest tweak to the plan includes exemptions to yellow school buses, most commuter buses, certain specialized government vehicles. But the rest of us saps, we're going to have to pay $15 to go below 60th Street in Manhattan, maybe as early as mid-June.
My concern is a vibrant city coming out of COVID, the vacancy rate of office buildings, the major companies leaving New York.
Yeah, business leaders saying this is not going to be good for New York. Taxi drivers wanted to know why they didn't get an exemption.
They're barely making a minimum wage. This would be the third tax on their backs.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right. This guy who showed up at the hearing says this whole plan is completely flawed, has not been thought out.
People that live in the zone shouldn't have to pay the fee. You have to do the right thing by folks in Staten Island that have to pay the Verrazano and the Battery Tunnel.
So, of course, you know, there's only so many exemptions they can give out until they're not making money anymore. And, of course, that's what they're looking to do.
Everything going up everywhere. I don't know if it's really going to work. It's going to make people park at different places, come down, take Ubers and stuff like that. The city's falling apart.
Yeah, we were telling you about that concern yesterday in Queens and in upper Manhattan, that people go over the George Washington Bridge, park there, try to take a train down to get their way out of that $15 toll. We just don't know how it's all going to work out when it gets started, which could be as soon again as mid-June.
I don't know where I'm going to go, but I have to find somewhere else to make a living.
we cannot no longer make a living with this construction price they're going to put on us. It's not like it used to be. They squeeze every dollar we make out of your pocket.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of lawsuits trying to stop this, but so far it looks like the MTA is going to win this battle, and we'll see congestion pricing. Surprise last night on CBS 2. Dana Tyler, you know, the longtime anchor, 34 years she's been at the network. So they begin the broadcast, and they say that she's leaving. That's it. She's gone. She was part of the first all-black anchor team in New York with Reggie Harris. You remember those days. But here she was, the 65-year-old, saying goodbye yesterday.
This is my last newscast, my last 6 o'clock news with you here at Channel 2. It's my last day at Channel 2. 34 years I've been here.
Incredible.
I'm so honored to be here. So honored. You have no idea. I say thank you to my several thousand co-workers in every department here who over the past 34 years and to this very second have collaborated with me. They've challenged and taught me, given me valuable constructive criticism and encouragement. We've laughed, we've cried together, we've tried to do our best for you, and my heart is full of gratitude.
Now, people are asking me, was she pushed out? I don't know. Or is she just left on her own? 65 years old. Did you know this is, I'm about to blow your mind. Did you know that she dated Phil Collins for like a decade and then they broke up? Which is kind of an interesting side story about her career. But anyway, that was it. Last night, Dana Tyler's last newscast at CBS 2.